For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need time, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode 308 of Fourth and Drawn. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo in the building, and Dam Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas. And we are talking the Eagles Cowboys matchup. It is Dallas week. I don't know if you're not ready. I don't know what's wrong with you, because it's time. It's going to be a Sunday night matchup. I know Eagle fans are super geeked to watch our team slaughter the Cowboys. I said slaughter the Cowboys. I'm not sure if the Cowboys are ready for what they're about to see in the Philadelphia Eagles. You could say, I'll give them respect for the 4-1 record without Dak. That's cool and everything.
No respect.
They have not played a team that is built like the Philadelphia Eagles. So I personally am waiting for this one. I'm fully confident in what I've seen from our birds, and I'm ready for a W. What say you, gentlemen?
I think that the time has finally come. I mean, Eagles fans out there, we love our Dallas Sucks chant. You know what? Now it's actually relevant this week. Dallas Sucks. You know what? I got a special hatred in my heart. I bring this up every Dallas week, but Tank brought up last show, there's Dallas fans from Texas, and then there's Dallas fans that have never stepped foot in the state of Texas, can't even point it out on a map, yet they want to claim Super Bowls that happened before they even were born. That shit's whack, man. Those types of Dallas fans are completely bogus. Listen, my nerves are up this week, man. And I feel like they're maybe a weasel amongst us right now. I mean, Gail, you are Mr. Swag, but what the hell are you doing wearing a Stars hat during Dallas week, bro? Dallas Stars?
Wow.
That's a violation, bro.
I ain't even peeped that, man.
I can't tell if you're frozen or if you're pissed at me, but I don't know what's up with that.
Hey, he's kind of surprised that you put him on the spot there.
Listen, man. Yeah, he is frozen. I just noticed the Stars hat.
Did you think about that?
It says Philadelphia Stars.
Yeah, I don't care if it says Philadelphia on it, man. He's the right there. It still says Stars.
This is a Negro League in Philadelphia. So
he brought that. Somebody brought that up last time, too. It's a Negro League baseball team.
Know your history.
Listen, man, I told you my nerves are up.
On edge.
I'm on edge. I'm watching out. The cowboy weasels like to hide underneath the rug. You never know when they're gonna pop out. I'm protecting my own.
Yeah. This is Cowboy Sucks Week. Mm-hmm. I hate the Cowboys with a thorough passion. I've been breaking the game down ever since I watched all five of their games rather, and they do something pretty well. And as we get through the show, I give you my breakdown of them and the pigeons on their offensive line. And what they've been doing to actually win. They're actually a pretty good team when they do what they're doing. But that's why I was hoping Dak came back, because once Dak gets back, they turn into a pass junkie. Right now they're just playing like a full-fledged team, and it should be a formidable game. And actually the current line is Eagles +6.5. So Eagles are 6.5-point favorite. But I never trust that, and I never trust when folks start patting us on the back. I will not be eating that bullshit cheese that people tend to put out there. I was like, I'm waiting on my guys to come out and hit them in the mouth. Their first lick says a lot about how the game is going to go. It's like when you get everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Look, man, I when it comes to hating Cowboys, I don't know. I really think that none of the three of you can compete to how much I hate this fucking team.
I mean, Tank.
Listen, man, I know you were on the field against them many years.
No.
I know you played many games.
I unfollow people, and I stop people from following me. And I don't shake your hand. I'm not taking no picture with you. Get the hell away from me if you're a Cowboys fan. And like I told you before, either you with me or against me. With me or against me.
So this week,
even the people that I know that are Cowboys fans, that could be friends, I'm not even talking to them.
Yeah, I mean, the hate is hot. This is the game that I look forward to every year. The first game, second, or whenever we play them on the second time, go around. But I'm really looking so forward to this game because, like it was mentioned earlier, they haven't seen a team like this yet. All right, I don't care. You know what I mean? Fuck the respect to the 4-1 record. That's a lucky ass record. That's what I'm gonna say. Lucky ass record because you haven't played anybody. All right, Tampa Bay is the best competition you play so far this year. I know my brother's tuning in. I know he's making comments already, and I want him to hear me clearly. You haven't played nobody, bro. All right, you played Tampa Bay, and that was it. Other than that, you haven't played a line that you're about to play on Sunday. Okay, Michael Parsons. You think Michael Parsons is going to be the only one that's going to win that game for you? No, he's not. He's not going to go ahead and do as much as he's been doing lately. I'm gonna tell you that right now. All right, last year y'all got the best of us. This year is a totally different thing. So you get ready for the reality that it's going to be coming your way. All right, reality is going to be coming your way, bro. Remember that. I'm telling you right now, 6-0, 6-0,
6-0 heading into the bye. We're going to inflate our heads even more as we think about how great this team is.
I mean, I like the energy for Prime. I'm like, and I'm not stepping away from it because when I go back to this, just looking at the overall layout of our team. And the amount of guys that are coming back. Jordan Mailata is practicing. Avante Maddox is practicing. Leonard Dickerson is practicing. Kelsey, yeah. Who had some, was a little banged up. He's practicing. Limited, but practicing. So I'm feeling like we're getting stronger at the right time. And I think it's really a statement. It's a statement game. Even it's, just for the outs. Like the statement game, every time, every year, they have this game circled on the schedule for a reason. Now, Hollis, I know you being a Philadelphia Eagle for a long, long time. What was the atmosphere in the locker room coming up to Dallas week? What was like the coaching messaging?
Well, the funniest thing was the first time I played against the Cowgirls. It was a Monday night, and we had Michael Buffer come in to do the Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And I was standing, and I happened to be standing next to head coach Ray Rhodes at the time. And he was like, Fat T, we probably gonna get our ass kicked tonight. I was like, why? He said, when you bring out all these extra bells and whistles and shit, you tend to get your ass kicked. And then right after he said that, Michael Buffer was like, let's get ready to, and I can't say the rest because of copyright infringements. So so we proceeded to get an ass kicking. But then we went down there and it was a difference. It was like I've never told a story about I've told a story once or twice about before halftime, I was playing next to William Fuller. He got poked in the eye by, you remember Eric Williams, who's from Philly? He's a cool. I'm cool with Eric Williams because he's from Philly. But they used to call him Supreme in college. He went to a HBCU with Hugh Douglas. They called him Supreme. He poked William Fuller in the eye. So William Fuller went out, got a new contact, came back in. It was a two-minute drill, and he just looked at me. And he said, "Cover me." And I was like, "Cover me means that he's a defensive end. He takes the inside, then I go out. I cover from the outside." As I was going around to cover him, if you can find this footage anywhere. Him and Eric Williams was throwing punches at each other. And I mean punches, not swats, not punches. They were throwing punches at each other. And this is right before the half ended. And dude, I was like, and then that's when I knew right then and there what this game meant to this city. Then we proceeded to, that was a game where we got where James Willis intercepted the pass in the end zone. I was on the field at that time too. And he pitched it to Troy. Actually, if you look at that, you'll see me get up, but you'll see everybody's heard me tell this story before. I'm going to help get a block, And William Fuller grabbed my arm. He said, "Where do you think you take your fat ass to?" I was like, he's like, "Who do you think got to come back out here after that, after they run this play?" So as I'm looking up at the Jumbotron, I see Ronnie Dixon and a couple of other choice defensive linemen running down the field. Guess where they was at the next two series? On the sideline, sucking up air. But the part where I realized how much this game meant to the city was after we got that victory. When we came back, it was about 3,000 or 4,000 people waiting over by the tarmac where we got back after that game. And that was on a Monday, a late night game too. It was one of the greatest. I'm like, damn, just for beating the Cowboys, it was one of the greatest feelings in the world. Every year, the one thing that fans will say is, we don't give a damn what the record is, as long as you beat those shitbirds. Talk about the cowgirls. And that somebody, I just saw somebody post the Jason Peters thing.
Don't get me started on that clown. That's something we got to get into. Yeah. I mean, he's been referred to as Yoda on this podcast. He is the old wise one. There's some questionable decisions this entire year, man.
Now, I had a quick rundown for each and every one of you. I mean, it's a couple of scenarios that I'm going to tell you guys about. Well, actually, Ron Jaworski did it. He said it just didn't feel right. Harold Carmichael did it for a few days, and he said he just didn't feel right, putting on that color. So then we get Darren Smith, didn't work out. He was constantly hurt. We get DeMarco Murray, stinks up the joint. Ah, sorry, I missed Chris Bonio. Chris Bonio, who botched the kick, That was the first time I saw coaches push a player in anger.
You missed the big one, too. You missed the big one, man. Big one
at the end of the game.
Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, and then Randall Cunningham, who we kicked his ass here. And then Orlando Scandridge, who can't keep our name out of his mouth now, because after he came here and stunk up the joint. It's like so many guys. It just never worked out. When you make that, it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. You don't see them doing that. It's like I don't know how and why you do that. Nothing good comes of it. And he's immediately hurt. He immediately got hurt as soon as he got in the game. He had a couple of good plays, and then he gets hurt, some type of pec injury. But what do you guys think of the experiment of having a cowgirl come to the Eagles or a bird going to the Cowgirls?
Well, first of all, it never seems like it's never something that you feel good about. Whenever there's an exchange and you get a cowboy, rooting for him always puts kind of a sour taste in it. Especially with the whole the DeMarco Murray thing is something that really sticks out of my mind. Where, I mean, that was in the middle of Chip Kelly just completely dismantling this Eagles team, and for him to go out and replace the all-time leading rusher in Philadelphia and LeSean McCoy with DeMarco Murray, who was a guy that they were just beating the brakes off of, man. I mean, he had how many consecutive years with 500-plus rushes? And then he gets here. And like, running backs, there's a reason that they only exist in this league for the least amount of time compared to any other position. And you went out and got a battered and bruised DeMarco Murray. Man, like I said, rooting for a ex-Cowboy never feels good. But I got to tell you, this Jason Peters thing, I feel like it stings a little bit more, man. The guy that is like a bona fide, like his number should be retired for the Eagles. He's a future Hall of Famer. He is like one of the all-time Eagle greats that's come here. And for him to not only go and just play for the Cowboys in a year where like it's – how old is he now? Like 40 years old? Like – I'm not going to push anyone into retirement, but like I know that there's certain players on this team, like a Brandon Graham or Jason Kelsey, that would retire before they ever put on those colors. So it's just, I feel disrespected if I'm being
absolutely honest. You speak facts there, man. I mean, like, you know, Jason Peters is somebody before all this happened, before he even signed with the Cowboys. It was like, I respected how he went upon getting his contracts. I respected how he went upon playing the game. I respected how he was still grinding to be in the NFL. Whatever he did, whatever he needed to do to go ahead and make it happen, he did it. Then the minute he signs with Cowboys, it's like, yeah, it was a weird feeling at first, but now you're going to come out your mouth, out your ass, and talk the stupid shit about us Eagles fans that have been fucking supporting you since day one, that had pretty much helped you make your fucking career. All right. Because, I mean, we were the ones that were blood, sweat and tears there supporting you every weekend on that in that stadium. And then for you to go ahead and shit on us the way you did last night or whenever it was that you came out with these comments, it was like that was the foulest shit. I mean, like, look, man, going back from the time T.O. put on that jersey, the time we brought Miles Austin over here, we brought DeMarco Murray over here. God. I mean, you had that little weasel, Orlando Scandrick. That was ridiculous. You know what I mean? Those guys are the reasons why I'm never a fan of picking up somebody from that squad. And then anybody that from our squad that goes over to that squad, it's just like, yo, I'm done with you. My hands are clean. You know what I mean? Like, it's whatever. But Jason Peters, look, man, when you step on that field on Sunday, bro, all this worrying about something getting thrown at you, like, come on, man. I mean, you guys won't let the Santa Claus shit go.
Oh, my God, let it go. Dude.
Like, I mean, nobody's really going to throw nothing at you, bro. But you're going, I hope to God you hear my mouth. I hope you hear my mouth, because I'm sitting in section 131, and I'm going to let your ass know. I'm going to let you know, bro, for real. So I hope you hear me, because I'm going to let it all out. I'm going to let it all out.
Now, for you youngins out there who've never seen the movie Yella, there's a part where they have to put down the dog. Hopefully I didn't ruin that for everyone.
I mean, it's been out for like 50 years.
I figure I can say, but
take Big Goofy down.
He's foaming at the mouth. He's, you know, might have some, you know, and then they got to put down the dog. And like, I feel like this is the moment that put him out to green pastures and send him out with a big L and give him a pat on the back.
That's the extra kick in the junk here is that, like, I feel like.
Kick in the junk. I like that.
I feel like, last year with the Bears, like, it was not even a thought in anybody's mind. It was more so like, hey, I'm just happy that JP's still getting a contract. He still wants to play. Glad he's still got a contract. Whatever. And then he goes to Dallas, man. And like that, like, still people are sitting there like, listen, he just wants to continue to play. Maybe that was his only option. Bro. You didn't have to come out and disrespect the Eagles fans like
but,
that.
But it's still a mistake. I know it's a mistake, but the part that truly pissed me off was he was willing to move the guard with them and not willing to move the guard here.
You could have
still been here playing fucking guard. Yeah. It's like it would have been a nice rotation because all of you motherfuckers keep getting hurt. So it's like it would have been a nice rotation. And I thought he was gonna take that position and play guard. But he didn't want to play guard. And then I was like, seriously, dude, come on.
So how does this, like, I understand there's a lot of hatred and vitriol going on right now. But, like, how does this, when Jason Peters finally does hang it up and retire, what kind of taste does this leave in your mouth, man? Like, are you still motivated to go out to Canton and watch him get inducted? Like, these are real questions, bro. I mean,
now that you say that, I didn't even think of that.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you just walked out and you slapped me in the face on the way out, and now I'm supposed to just go celebrate you 5 years from now?
You had a massive crowd ready to go to Canton and support you. That crowd just got diminished. Yeah. It just diminished. You went from thousands to probably about 10 people going to show up there in Canton.
Let's also talk about, so, you know, Randall did it too. So if Randall gets in, it's just a difference.
Randall's a little different.
Yeah, Randall's different, bro. He played, you know what I mean? Like, it sucked. He played. He didn't talk. He played the game, you know what I'm saying? And that was it. If there's anybody that, you know what I mean, that got to that point, like I said, it was T.O., it was Scandrick, and now it's Jason Peters. Yeah. Other than that, there's other people that I could go ahead and name, but they never got to this little childish level that they're at right now. They just shut up and they played the game and collected a check on a weekly basis. That was it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It sucked. It hurt. And you know what I mean? It was a hard pill to swallow to watch them in the enemy jersey. You know what I mean? But hey, at the end of the day, it is what it is. You got to respect it. That's part of the business. But these three clowns that I just mentioned, they just went above and beyond, like, you know what I mean, running their mouths for no reason. So the respect is just like gone. So I don't know. You know what I mean? It's a good question that Evan brings up. But if right now, I'm not going to Canton to go ahead and support JP. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, man. But if he goes in the bird, you almost have to go support him if he goes in the bird. But you remember that, you remember this shit. You'll probably get over it in 5 years. But if he, it's one of those things where it's like it's gonna stick in your craw. That's like you're gonna be like, man, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah,
but,
man.
Yeah, like as soon as Ev said it, like, because I remember vividly when we were driving all the way to Cleveland in a vehicle, smelling like rotten Cheetos. by the time we got there, I was like, man, I would do anything to see Dawkins go in and see that moment. But now thinking about it, I don't know if I.
If you gonna roll like a Viking like that again?
I was like, maybe I fly someone, get a free flight there, but there's no way I'm going through that again. For I don't know. We'll see.
Not thinking about it, bro. You want my breakdown?
Yeah, let's go. I mean, let's talk about. We'll start early. Every week, Hollis gives us some pigeons to look at in some areas of some areas that need to be attacked. I mean, how are you feeling about some of the pigeons this week?
Well, this week our pigeons are on their offensive line. You got the kid. Both offensive tackles. They're holding machines. They come off the ball like they're coming out to give a Christmas hug. You can call holding on them on every play. And then you have to look at the guys on the interior. Jason Peters, who's obviously going to be playing hurt. They rotate him in sometimes. And then the center is Tyler. He gives up a lot of rhythm. It's like it's a lot of pressure that comes up the gut a lot of times, especially when teams single him up one-on-one. The one thing that the way that I feel like we should be able to beat these guys is they haven't given up that many sacks. Because they run the ball a lot, but they get like 24 sacks. They got like 24 sacks, I want to say. Yes. Wait a minute. They're giving up 9 sacks, and they get the turnovers too. They only giving up 9 sacks, but they got a bunch on that side of the ball. But they turn the ball. They only turn the ball over 5 times, but they've gotten about 24 turnovers. So it's like they're getting a bunch of turnovers and putting their offense in pretty good position to score. And they don't make their guy put Cooper Rush into any really bad positions, not yet, because they haven't been forced to. Because also their special teams is coming out there and putting up formidable numbers. They blocked a kick or two. I know they blocked one last week, but last week when you look at the game, you was expecting the Rams to come out there and put up a fight. Their offensive line is slow. Every team that's played against them with a good defense or a good defensive line has pretty much killed them because they try to pass too much. And the one thing that I think that we should take advantage of is their defense. They give up 117 yards on the ground per game, and they give up a bunch of passing yards, 219. They're ranked 7th, but it's like they're not on the field that much because they get off the field on third down. We're like one of the tops in the NFL currently in third down conversion. Now, their offense – they only make the third downs 30% of the time. That's in the bottom half of the NFL. So if we can sustain some of our drives and keep their defense out there, like I know we plan to, and quit playing that bend but don't break style defense, and just make them, what do we say, one dimensional? Because last week somebody only threw 17 passes, and he completed 10 of them, but he only threw 17 passes. I don't know where you're gonna win it like that all the time, especially when you're playing a team. Yeah, we got to make it. We got to make him beat us. We got to take away the running game and make him beat us. If he's any good, he'll be up to the task. But I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's good enough for them to throw like 30 or 40 times a game. No. So we had to put him in that predicament.
Can we call him Carson West?
Yeah, we call him Carson South.
Yeah, Carson Southwest. You know.
Yeah.
You know. Like thinking about Cooper Rush, like, you know, he's had this, you know, streak of 4 wins. I think he's done for a backup quarterback. I think he's done what you want him to do as a backup quarterback, come in, help the team win games by not turning the ball over, by not just playing, being smart. But I think, again, I go back to my opening statement. You have not seen a defense like the Philadelphia Eagles or front. So I feel like they really should get after him and rattle him. And then, on top of that, our corners, I think, should really do a great job of smothering their wideouts. You talk about CeeDee Lamb being their number one wide receiver, followed up by Noah Brown. So I feel like we've seen a lot of great receivers. Yeah.
They don't got Amari Cooper no more. Put it that way. Amari Cooper was a big time part of their offense. Their receiver corps does not doesn't put any fear in my heart.
I feel no threat whatsoever. CeeDee Lamb is not going to be able to do it by himself. Nah, you know what I mean. So I'm with you, Hollis. I don't think there's anybody, you know, on the wide receiver end for their team that's going to go ahead and be any type of threat against our secondary. I mean, we're talking about Bradbury. We're talking about, you know what I mean,
Big play Slay.
Exactly, big play Slay. We're talking about our
Avante
cornerbacks.
Maddox coming
back.
We're
strong as hell on the cornerbacks right now. Like, I mean, like, bro, like, all right, last year it was a mess. Don't get me wrong. Last year y'all wiped our asses, but this year it's not happening, man. And then, like you said, Amari Cooper's there no more. Not that I was really worried about that dude. My man could play. He could play his ass off and he could get his yards, but I'm not worried. This year is a totally different outcome. That defensive line is going to monster this offensive line, and I can't wait. Cooper Rush got sacked 3 times. Yo, get ready because another 4 is coming your way. I'm calling six, seven sacks in this game.
Like, I mean, we got 9 on Wentz, bro. It's not an unrealistic number.
It's not an unrealistic number. And just think about it. The last person we got 9 sacks on was a redhead. This dude is a redhead, so it might be a redhead thing. You know what I mean? So I see it coming. I see
great logic.
Cowboy fans already have an excuse in place. Well, you beat us when you had Rush.
Listen, yeah. I know. But listen, like,
I'll give them an option. I'll give them an option. Start Cooper in the first half, play Dak in the second half, so that way you can have it both ways. And they come up with a reason.
Now, you know that they're going to end up bitching that the other guy should have been playing. But the fact that, like, there is so much hype around this Cooper Rush dude, man, like, why? I understand that he is 4-0. Since he took over. But, like, if you realistically look at the stats, what about 102 passing yards and no touchdowns impresses you? Like, I don't understand what you are rah-rah-rahing behind this guy about. He hasn't really – he's not a good quarterback. He's not a proven quarterback. He's a backup. And he's a backup that's winning you games. He's doing his job, no doubt. But he hasn't played a defense like this. He hasn't played a secondary like this. He hasn't had a defensive line rush at him like this. And to be honest with you, man, like, I am loving the progression of Jordan Davis each and every week. I mean, he's stuffing the run, but he's also getting heavily involved in the pass rush as well. So I'm loving it, man.
I mean, I see people bringing up Tony Pollard up in here. Like, yo, don't get me wrong. My man is having a career year. And I even told my brother this. I feel like he's better than Ezekiel Elliott.
No,
like,
he has been for the past 2 years.
And I don't even get it. You know what I mean? But, yo, Jordan Davis shutting that shit down. Yeah. Nothing to worry about. Like, I mean, go ahead and try to run up to that big man. You ain't getting far, bro. Ain't happening.
You know what? My thing too is, are we going to put the pressure on Cooper Rush that we need to? Because pressure does bust pipes. If you let him stand back there, he's going to pick you apart. If you let him stand back there for 3 or 4 seconds and have our guys in the same predicament like we had them in last week, like, it's like they got the Tony Pollard kid that he can move around. And you, CeeDee Lamb, if one of those guys get loose in our secondary, well, that's the only thing that's kind of pissing me off is the fact that is my defense coordinator going to have the testicle fortitude to put pressure on this motherfucker, because this ain't no great quarterback. I'm not worried about him running or shit. Make him make fast, quick decisions. He got lucky last week. He did have 3 fumbles last week, but they got them all back.
Newsflash.
Pressure bust pipes.
Newsflash. Yes. Brandon Graham is back. Newsflash. Hassan Reddick is a hometown boy that doesn't like the Cowboys. Get ready. Get ready because you're going to see one of them.
Or Sweat.
I'm not worried about Tony Pollard or Zeke Elliott, to be honest with you, just because, like, how we've been saying about this defensive line. And if we could continue to just put them in third and long situations throughout this game, Cooper Rush is going to make mistakes, man. He's going to be pushed into a third and long. He's going to be trying to throw the ball downfield, and the secondary is going to capitalize. That's exactly how it's going to play out. There's going to be
The nail on the head, Ev. I feel like that's where you win. You know, situations where it's third and long. I mean, that's where you win, man. That's where this defense should make their money. Like, I mean, and then it's Cooper Rush. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's Cooper Rush.
Yeah, and the thing is, I just hope he don't come out there with that bend but don't break shit. I hate when he does that. It just pisses me off to no end.
Todd says, hey, I'm a redhead. Hey, you're our favorite redhead in the chat.
Yeah.
Representing the dirty South.
No pun intended.
Mark checks in. He says Cox and the crew are going to kick the door in. I fully believe that.
Hargrave.
Absolutely.
Hargrave, Cox. We got Milton, number 95. We don't want to ruin his name. And number 90, Davis.
I was going to say, I think Cox has to be loving playing next to Jordan Davis, man. I mean, they get so much pressure off of him.
Hell yeah.
And I'm not sure if you guys had seen, but and I know that we take all PFF stats with a grain of salt, but Jordan Davis is currently the top-ranked rookie defensive lineman in the league right now.
I know he did get a career high 29 snaps last week. I was happy to see that. And he's only playing like 30%. Well, actually, yeah, as a defensive lineman, you only get 30 to 40% of snaps anyway because of the rotation. The other guys probably get more. It depends on which packages you're on as well, because they may not call your package. And if they're passing all the time, you probably go out there and get a couple of rushes and stuff, and then they kick it to some more packages to put more pressure on the QB. So you got to make the best out of the plays that you get in there.
Hear that, Cowboys? Hollis is watching your package.
No. Pause. I said I'll talk about my own package now.
just for talking purposes. Now, what would be some of your biggest concerns versus the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, I could go. Well, one of the concerns I have is our special teams. They blocked the kick last week, and they've been doing tremendous on special teams. And that's what I was getting at when I was saying that their defense gets off the field on third down. They've been great at putting other teams in bad field position and winning the game of field position. That's how they've been winning games. If you look at it, they're doing what it takes to win, truly win games. They're running the ball and not turning it over. Their defense is getting turnovers, but also their special teams are blocking kicks and winning the game of field position as far as like punting and putting the other team in a bad position. That's the only thing the next part of being a complete team, I feel the Eagles need to conquer.
My only concern for Sunday is the hype. Don't get overly hyped about this game. Hollis, you mentioned earlier, you know what I mean, when you played with Ray Rhodes, how, you know, Michael Buffer was there, and then with the whistles and all that stuff, and then you guys had it. I don't want that, you know, overcoming our playing style, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want no mistakes being made. Like, I don't want to give this team no opportunity to go ahead and you know, overcome anything. I don't want to give them no opportunity to have a lead. I don't want to give them no opportunity for shit. You know what I mean? So that's the only thing that I'm just concerned about, is just being too overhyped for this game. I mean, us fans, let us control the hype. We'll handle the hype. Y'all just go in there, play y'all game, do y'all job, and we'll do the rest. Leave the rest to us.
To try not to get Apollo Creed.
There's two separate things that I'm paying attention to as far as concerns in this game. The first being is Micah Parsons, man. Micah Parsons is a game changer. He's a legitimate star linebacker in this league. He's a guy that can, you know, make an impact, make a difference. So him playing right in the middle of the field, there's opportunities where, you know, mistakes could be made where Jalen doesn't see where he's looking or over the center of the field. But also another concern is kind of similar to Prime's. I mean, we need to just play a full 60 minutes here. I think that for us being 5-0, it's pretty impressive considering I don't think that maybe in like one of the games we've played an entire 60 minutes. We've kind of taken our foot off the gas when we've gotten a lead. I think this is not just for like I'm scared of the Cowboys or anything like that, but I really just want to pour salt in the wound, man. I want a full 60 minutes. And if we go up by 20, go up by 40. I don't give a shit, man. Don't stop. Don't stop until the clock ends. That's what I
want
to say.
I want that Buddy Ryan attitude this Sunday.
Yeah,
keep running the all the way until it's zero.
I want fake spikes. I want everything. Yeah.
Bring them all. I like that one.
My biggest concern, I echo your sentiments there, Ev. I mean, I think Micah Parsons does, you know, pose a threat. He's a guy who's very versatile. You can move him around. He's a fireball off the edge, but we have some quality tackles here, and you know, Lane Johnson has been disrespected quite a bunch, and he's got something to prove. So I do feel like DeMarcus Lawrence, he does his thing. You know, you can't sleep on DeMarcus Lawrence. But I think overall, Quinn, I think for me, when I think about their coaching staff, I think he's one of the most valuable pieces to that group. I think he's a guy that, you know, overall has gotten the best out of this defense and some of his players on the back end, like Hooker Jayron Kearse, got guys who are role players, but he's getting the best out of them. But I feel like for all you Jalen Hurts haters out there, like this, when Jalen Hurts gets busy on this defense, this will be one of the best defenses he puts in work. And I feel like with this running game, you know, I would love to see what we did against the Cardinals. I said we because all the Eagle fans were out there, you know, that were rooting on the Eagles. Said we. So I would love to see them run it down their throats like they did against the Cardinals. That would be a tremendous way to, like, curb stomp them down.
Strike first, strike fast, no mercy, sir.
That's what I want to say. That's what I want to say.
No mercy. Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it?
Yeah.
Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? Oh, my bad. Sorry. No, sensei.
Now we're going to speak this into existence over here. Who's going to be our offensive MVP when the Eagles beat the Cowboys on Sunday?
I think that the spotlight in the passing game has kind of been shown on DeVonta Smith the past few weeks. I think that A.J. Brown is itching to have a big game, man, to pop off. Anybody that is out there for whatever reason talking that nonsense in Eagles land, saying that A.J. Brown isn't getting the ball enough. But this is going to be that game. It's going to be that game. He puts two scores on the board. And he's going to have a 150 receiving yards.
And you know why, Ev? Because I was thinking the same thing, because they got the what's the kid's name? The number seven?
Diggs.
Yeah.
Oh, Trayvon Diggs.
He's probably going to be trying to shadow him and follow him around to watch y'all. It's time for him to put him on notice,
because
he gets toast. So I'm looking for AJ Brown to come up big in this game, because this is one of the games I know he was probably circling when he came here. I know, I'm a guy, but I think AJ Brown is going to take the top off of it, and it's going to give everybody else the opportunity to eat. But he's going to be the one that eats the most.
And if you remember, prior to the season starting, I believe there was a celebrity softball game that had happened.
I remember clearly. Yeah, man, you didn't even give me the opportunity to bring it up.
A.J. Brown had called out Micah Parsons, who was in attendance there, letting them know, you know, this is our year. So
get your popcorn ready.
It's the truth, bro. Like, I know you mentioned A.J. Hollis mentioned A.J., I'm still going with AJ. Yes, AJ's going to be the one that's going to definitely do his thing in this game. And why? Because he's going to now realize what a Dallas Eagles rivalry is all about. He's now included in it, so now he's going to experience it. I mean, it all started at the celebrity game, like you just mentioned, Evan. Yes, Michael Parsons was running his mouth. AJ let him know, I'm in town now. It's a whole different team, and that's exactly what they're going to show on Sunday. So, yes, I see AJ really exploding, doing his thing. But I also still see, you know, with the amount of weapons we have on the squad, that ball could be spread out a lot come Sunday. You know what I mean? Because, again, Trayvon Diggs, Michael Parsons is not going to be able to maintain everybody. You know they're going to have them focus on specific people, so that's definitely going to open up the field for other guys. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to leave Watkins out there. Wouldn't even be surprised if he has a monster game. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. So I'm ready, man. I'm just I'm so fucking soon.
The only reason why
when he said what he said, the only thing is, like, I met Nick Sirianni a couple of times, and the times we got beat by his squad, I know his itching him to death, and he's gonna pull out every stop to beat the dog shit out of this team. Then it's just like, I just can't wait to see it.
I mean, I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts here. I think a guy who grew up in Texas, he knows exactly what the Dallas Cowboys are and what beating the Dallas Cowboys in Philly means to this fan base and to this organization. I feel like, you know, he's had some growing pains as he's, you know, played the Dallas Cowboys. And he knows what's at stake. He knows what a amount of time he's put in this offseason to prepare for this. I think he's a guy who knows where the back doors to the offense, if you know, the check downs. He now knows what he's got to do. He now has weapons all over the field. I feel like Dallas Goedert, I saw Conrad in the comments, you know, him on the screen game has been very tremendous. I think him in the seams is somewhere, I think that's an area where we could attack. I think A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Quez, you could name it. We've got weapons all over the field. I feel like this is a game. It's definitely a statement game for Jalen Hurts.
Big time. Big time. I feel like every single one of these games so far has been a statement game, though. Like, I feel like Jalen Hurts has been proven his worth every game so far this year. Like I said, beginning.
Thank you, Evan.
Yes, no, I agree. I think that he is, and I'll take it a step further, Hollis. Like I said, I think in the last show, I think that there is probably some paperwork that is being drafted up with Jalen Hurts' name on it and a lot of zeros for an extension. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that was signed within the next couple of weeks.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I think you get expedited if you have a Dallas beatdown this weekend.
Well, if you continue doing what he's doing, it may happen. But I see them waiting on the whole season, at least to do it.
Not a believer. This guy's not a believer.
I know how big business works. Because that's the first thing that they're gonna say.
Yeah.
So how about defensive MVP? Again, we speak things into existence over here. I'm not going to come out with this negativity. We are talking about defensive MVP after the dub against the Dallas Cowboys. Who would that be?
I'm going with the hometown kid, man. I think Hassan Reddick is going to go ahead and shine this weekend. him being from the hometown, him being from Camden, him knowing what this Eagles Cowboys rivalry is all about. He doesn't like the Cowboys. I love the attitude. Now he has the privilege of being on that field and showing how much he hates the Cowboys, and he's going to show it on Sunday. So I'm going with Hassan Reddick as my defensive MVP.
Hey.
Ooh, that's amazing.
I'm going to go for a little bit of, I don't want to call it nostalgia, but for lack of a better term, I'm going to say nostalgia. I think the old heads are really popping off in this game. I think that Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox end up controlling this offensive line, getting to the quarterback, collecting some sacks. I expect 4 sacks between the two of them. So that's what I'm looking for.
I'm expecting Epps and Chauncey back in the secondary. To be roaming back there to support the run, not only support the run, but I think they're due for about a couple of picks apiece, especially with all the way things are going, and I want to go with them so bad, but something tells me that Hargraves, he hasn't been making a lot of noise lately. Mm-hmm. Something tells me he's about to go off.
Reminds people.
He's going to go off. I think he's going to go off for a nice 2 or 3 year because they got some pigeons in that interior.
Tell us, before I forget to ask, what is your thoughts on Milton Williams so far this year?
I like Milton. You know what? If Milton is able to play both inside and outside, and he comes in and he gets the job done, he gives everybody a good spell. Sometimes you don't see what he does and how he does, but he's been surpassed by, you got a first overall pick, first pick, the top 12 pick, who's bigger and stronger, probably faster than him too. It's like he's going to have to work to get on. He has to still work to get on the field.
Yeah.
And it's like you got all that other stuff around you. It's like, but he's like, he shows up when we need him.
I get that. But like, if you were to compare, like, I feel like we've seen a lot of Marlon
Tuipulotu this year.
And he was drafted even lower than Milton Williams. So do you think that he has progressed better than Milton?
Yeah, because basically because it, and it's kind of like when you when you look at the way at the competition level that both of those guys played against, Marlon came from USC, Milton came from La Tech, which is, you know, it's like he was getting knocked out of his gap. So I feel like he's progressing, but not at the third round level. When they made that pick, I wanted the kid out of NC State, but you know, since we got Milton, let's hope he continues to get better. But I think Marlon just surpassed him just because of the competition level and the coaching. Because you might have a better coach and stuff. So, and then he probably retains the defense a little bit better than Milton. So, and Milton's got to play two positions. He's a tweener.
Yep.
See, I'm gonna go with I was gonna go Hassan Reddick. So that was my first. My second pick. I'm gonna go with Slay. I think Slay's gonna come up with a nice pick. I think a pick six would ignite the crowd. You get a pick six.
Oh man,
it would be crazy when they get a pick six.
Why can't it be Sunday tomorrow, man? Oh my god,
oh, man.
I've been losing sleep thinking about Sunday. But by the way, we will be having a tailgate Sunday. So if you guys are looking for a good time, we will be in Lot G2.
Did you fix it up this time? Make sure you fix. Okay.
We definitely did. We definitely did. Lot G2. We'll have free beer and food. Shout out to Conchi Bakery, tomato pies. Shout out to Bud Light. So for supplying the Bud Light, shout out to DJ Lowski.
And remember these night games too. Take a peek outside right now. Pretty dark. It's 7:22 p.m. It's gonna be 7:30 when this tailgate wraps. You know what that means? It's Club John.
Club John. Club John.
Club John.
Club John. Club John.
If you guys don't know what it gets like at Club John, I just have to show you real quick for those who are listening. You're gonna miss out on Club John the visual part of it, but Club John can get, you never know what's gonna happen at Club John.
Fireworks?
Those are fireworks. JJ,
I hope so. I hope that that's not the grill.
JJ Freeze in his element. He is having a moment with the fireworks. I think he's met his maker.
You know that eye lock is really throwing me off, man. I mean, he is having a sexual moment with those sparks.
It looks a little disturbing. Yes.
And then, but then the eye contact. Like
it, and then he just got caught.
The eye contact. Why the eye contact?
Like, yeah. Oh, I got. Awkward.
Hope we see Jordan there.
So what else? What else? If you guys have questions or comments in the chat, we'd love to hear some of your questions.
I got to address my man Pete. We met this last weekend out in Arizona, but I mean, this is a little bit of a stretch, my guy. Mm-hmm. Comparing Milton Williams to Aaron Donald. I get you said light, but come on. I mean, Aaron Donald is like an all-time great, bro.
now to help Pete out, that's what that he has all the measurements and all the same numbers as Aaron Donald.
Measurables.
That's what they were thinking when they drafted him. I was like, what the hell is that? Just because you got all the numbers and the physical attributes as him doesn't mean that you're going to be him. So if that's what they're thinking, he has a long way to go. Mm. Has an extremely long way to go. Somebody wants to know the pigeons this week. I've already said Steele, the left tackle and the right tackle, Steele and Smith. Smith is a rookie out of University of Tulsa. He's a first round pick. He was holding in college and he's holding now. They also have Tyler the center, and our own Jason Peters. If he gets in there, he's got a bad peck. But he's an older guy, so we should be able to make sport of him. They don't really have any continuity, so it's like they run the ball to gain confidence. But their quarterback last week was sacked 3 times and forced fumble 3 times last week, and they got on the ball. That means that they knew that man was sacking them, and he was probably going to fumble, so they had to get on top of the fumble. So the pigeons this week, of course, Cooper Rush is a pigeon. You had to put the pressure on that sucker, pressure bust pipes. You had to put pressure on him to make him make quick decisions. If you force him into quick decisions, he will throw and give you the ball. I've seen it before. Hopefully we'll see it again.
And if we're just looking at, like, you know, all how banged up their offensive line is and how stout our defensive line is, we should have our way with them. We should definitely win that battle in the trenches. So,
yes,
I mean, if we can just get pressure early, rattle Cooper Rush up,
yep,
man, we're good for the rest of the game.
If we shut the one thing we have to do is shut the run down. They're going to try to hit us with the 1-2 punch with those two guys. They're going to try to run some stuff to keep the downs and the third down manageable. But if we keep them in third down alone, they'll still continue to try to run the screen game to try to get some confidence with Cooper Rush. We just have to sniff that crap out and put the kids to bed early. Somebody wants to know about my line of practice fully today.
Yeah. Elena Franklin asked, any word on when Mulata will be back 100%? I don't know about any player is 100% midseason or, but I feel like Mulata in practice, he said he was giving it his go as much as he could. While everyone was walking through some of the, reps, he was giving it his go just to see how it felt. I have a feeling he's going to be good to go this week. I think they're holding him out for a reason. And Dallas is the reason.
Yeah, I think that they just held him out an extra little bit of time. He probably could have went, but he held him out that extra little time to give him an opportunity to be not so much full blast, but enough blast to kick that ass and then go into the bye week and then get healthy.
Lil Philly Kid wants to know, what do you guys think Hurts' stat line is going to be at the end of this game? I'll start us off here. I've got him for 350, 3 touchdowns, 2 Ooh. Going to AJ Brown, 1 going to Dallas Goedert. Book it.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like it. Ooh, no rushing touchdowns, Evan? That's been the spicy talk on the timeline.
I think he'll probably have a good 50, 60 yards rushing, but I'm not gonna say any touchdowns this week. It's gonna be given to Miles.
I think the one thing with that is I think he's gonna have 250 to 300 in the air with at least two touchdowns air-wise. I think he's also going to have 2 on the ground because the way our run game works, if he's got that threat, he's going to make them start coming down on Miles and whoever else they decide to give the ball to, and he's going to pull it out. Pause. He's going to pull out, and he's probably going to get a touchdown off of them over pursuing because they pursue east to west. They pursue east to west, and so once you get them pursuing. And they think they go all the way. It's kind of hard for them to make that turn to go back in the other direction. So once he gets out on the edge, he's fast enough to win.
Mark is feeling confident, bro. Greatest game
big time confident.
That Hurts has ever had.
Five touchdowns.
I'm going to go 2 touchdowns. Have I had that
on Madden? Damn.
I'm going to go 2 touchdown passes. I'm going to go 275 yards. I'm going to go we'll give him 30 yards rushing, 1 touchdown. So 2 passing, 1 rushing. And this whole thing about rushing, like, he had 2 rushing touchdowns last week. If he would have passed those, would you have felt better?
No. I just want to win the game, bro. I don't care if I win.
And that's exactly what Hurts wants to do. He wants to win. He don't care about
you. He wants to win. He'll figure out the rest of it later. I think he's just going to do – I think that's why I like him because he does what it takes to win. And if it takes him running, he's going to run. If he sees it there – they're running like certain coverages and stuff that put them in a predicament to turn over the ball. He's going to pull it down and put them on notice. I will pull this down and run. So
do you see people complaining about when Tom Brady would sneak QB at the goal line for touchdowns? How many touchdowns does Tom Brady have down by the goal line? He's got a lot.
He probably got a bunch of them. Yeah, but I don't. Tom Brady is a cheater. I don't. Zinger Smith is going to put it. I don't. Let's go to Joe Montana.
now, Mark Bird asks, what's all of your favorite game moments versus the Cowgirls?
Man.
There's a lot.
I got two
And I was talking to somebody on Sunday in Phoenix, I mean, in Arizona about it. Like, you know, the one that definitely stands out to me is that 95 game against the Cowboys on that 4th-and-1 stop. Two times, not once, but two times. All right. And then the one interception from Lito Shepard that ran it all the way back.
That was nice.
That those were my two that definitely stand out.
My all-time favorite moments. The game where Troy Vincent scored the touchdown.
I remember that game too.
but to seal the deal, I hit Troy Aikman to force him into a pick to a James Fuller, a safety. He was wearing number 22 at the time. I hit him at that game, and then it was another game where they had Randall Cunningham at the quarterback, and I had 11 solo tackles that game.
Oh.
I was over Larry Allen, destroying him. Took his lunch money.
Well, he's calling names. He said Larry Allen. If y'all you young, yeah,
that's what everybody who asked me who's the toughest offensive lineman that I played against. None, motherfucker, because it ain't about being tough. I'm coming out there to kick your ass. You can be as tough as you want to.
For me, my first thought when the question was asked was I thought of T.O., man. And I had to look it up to make sure I wasn't misremembered, but it wasn't when he was in the big star in the middle of the field. It was when he was in he throws the arms up after the touchdown in the little star in the end zone. I think that was just like the epitome of like the height of the Eagles Cowboys rivalry. While I've been around,
while you've been around, you could go both ways with it, bro. You got that game that you just mentioned, and then you got the game. The comeback game of T.O. in the Cowboys jersey and got his ass handed to him. You know what I mean? I'm good with both of those games for you.
Exactly.
And then the first play of the game, when they lined me up at defensive end, I sacked Troy Aikman on the very first play of the game. it was so funny because I lined up out there and Eric Williams looked at me and was like, "What you doing out there?" I was like, "Don't worry about it. Hike." And I ran it. I ran right across his face. And he was like, he's like, "Motherfucker." It's like, damn, it's getting
my moment's kind of weird. It's not even like it's just during the Super Bowl run when we went in there and we just ripped the door off their house. And it was just a moment to me that I felt like they were gonna win the Super Bowl.
The pickle juice game.
I felt like Dallas Cowboys fans, they knew we were gonna win the Super Bowl after the game. Even that, you know, the Jay Ajayi run, like that. During that run, I was just like, "This, we're running all over this team. This is a Super Bowl winning team right here." Mm-hmm. And that was a moment for me that I was like, "Yeah,
to have the same feeling on Sunday."
Well, you know, the funniest thing is as we were talking, I remember the pickle juice game. I don't know if you guys remember the one that retired Troy Aikman. And I remember when you started talking about the run. You remember Deuce had 201 yards rushing on them. He was running the ball down their throat, and I was like, man, we are king. Because you know, the one thing as a young buck, it seemed like every time you had them beat, they would figure out a way to come back and get the victory. So you know, we had to put our foot in their neck and continue to kick it. It was 41-14, but it was a pickle juice game. But I just got a clip from that when Deuce had 199 yards rushing and he went back in to get the 201 yards on the ground. They just have 200 yards rushing. That was like a cool game, especially to open up the season, because all the hype was on the 130 degree temperature that was going to be down there on Texas Stadium, and will we be able to handle our business? And we did. 8 sacks that game. Troy Aikman was in the booth at the end of that season.
Todd brings up a good one as well. I mean, we remember during the Super Bowl season.
Oh, yeah.
It was Nelson Aguilar that recreated the famous DeSean Jackson falling into the end zone. I believe he was also trying to hand the ball to that weasel Orlando Scandrick, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, probably. Everybody talk about the Michael Irvin. Oh, God, I was in that Michael Irvin game. Everybody thought that they were cheering or booing Michael Irvin. They weren't booing. The thing was, Primetime had ran out there talking about he was laying hands, like throwing his hands to God and laying hands on Michael Irvin. Everybody's like, "Get your ass up and let the paramedics handle this." He was down there telling my son, let me lay hands on him. He's like, dude, if you don't get up.
Now, Connor asks, will Dallas try and pull cheap shots on the read option plays? Take the QB no matter what? I think you should. You should. I'm not saying that. I mean, if I was
You could try, but they've been watching that so much that you will get called. You as soon as you, because the it's no ifs, ands, or buts. If he's not riding him and you just hit him because you say I thought he had the ball, yeah, no, they're gonna throw the flag. They've been doing it lately.
Yeah, but there's ways around that, isn't there, Tank? Isn't there guys that you could send in that are third stringers that are, you know, non-impact players in the game?
It's still a 15-yard penalty.
But if it ends up rattling Jalen Hurts.
It's not going to rattle him because he know they're still protecting him.
Now, shout out to Joey Shakes in the building. Check out his YouTube channel if you get an opportunity. So what's your take on fans that say Hurts not having enough throwing touchdowns? Do you have a problem with Hurts using his legs in the red zone and always scoring on QB sneaks? Just asking.
Well, Joey Shakes, I'm telling you, just like I tell every one of those sons of bitches that keep on bringing this shit up, I'm good with the quarterback that does what it takes to win. In the W column, that's a win in the W column. It's not an L. As long as it's not an L, I have no problems whatsoever. I'm not worried about fantasy points. I'm worried about real W's. So I don't know what everybody else has to say about it, but I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, if the drive is resulting in a touchdown, I don't care how we got there, man. That's what's important. We put points on the board, whether it is Jalen Hurts running in the ball, whether he's throwing to our sixth stringer, I don't care. I just want to see the score go up and more victories, man. And we've been rolling so far this year, man. That, like, I feel like Eagles fans, when we get in a position where everything is going so swell, we're hardwired to look for a problem, man. Yeah. We're limited on problems with this team. Just enjoy it and cherish it while we're here, man. It's not very often that we have an Eagles fan that is impressing this well. Enjoy it.
Yeah, he's definitely doing his thing. I mean, he's reading the defense a whole lot better. So it's like, you know what you guys said, whatever it takes to win the game, you got to support it. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you want the man to go ahead and score the touchdowns however he can. And if that means he's got to go ahead and run them all in, he's got to run them all in. It is what it is.
40 rushing touchdowns this year. I don't care.
Ask Russell Wilson, which one would he rather have now? The W's or throwing a touchdown pass?
Yo, I seen the funniest thing on the timeline today about Jalen Hurts. It was a Cowboy fan trying to call out Jalen for taking his first. He's always like taking the first read or whatever. The play he's looking at is the play where he threw across his body to Devontae Smith to get in that first down. I'm like, is that, like, what are you talking about? That was an amazing play that set up a scoring drive.
Yes, it did. I don't, you know, the funny, yeah, I know they're delusional. It's like some people always try to pick apart what they don't know about. It's kind of funny to me when I watch people don't know what the play is called, don't know what they're trying to accomplish on their play, don't know what they're setting up. So it's going to be a lot of critics, basically.
It's kind of incredible to me, too, for these Cowboys fans that are sitting there and they're nitpicking Jalen Hurts' game, but in the same breath, they're all gung-ho behind Cooper Rush. Like, if we sit down and we watch Cooper Rush's tape with the same eye that you're looking at Jalen Hurts and looking for the most minuscule mistakes, you think that we're not going to find more mistakes in Cooper Rush's tape? The man threw for 102 yards and no touchdowns last game. The dude's a bum. Get out of here.
Yeah. She said Dan Cilio. Yeah. I know Dan Cilio. He's silly, yo.
Bob asks, hey, Tank, was it 1996 playoff game, the Williams-Fuller fight?
Yeah, it was not a playoff game. It was at Texas Stadium, but it was in 1996. The playoff game we played against San Francisco. I seen Jeffrey Osborne sing the national anthem. The woo 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 guy and your woo woo woo,
Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh my, yeah, he's saying the national anthem.
Now Robert says he chimes. He says, "Yes, I would like to see more touchdowns handed off to other players to spread the ball around. But if we win the game, I don't care. But I also don't want to see Jalen hurt. Get hurt.
That is the most creative way I've ever seen Jalen spell.
Well, you'll probably see a bunch more.
I just think he's been that's his style. That's his style of play. Like he rushed for 1,300 yards this year. He's able to run the ball. He's crafty in the open field. The way he cuts people up, like Evan does, cuts onions on Sunday. Nice. Chop, 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 chop. You can't stop him in the open field. He's gonna make somebody miss.
He's got some of the shiftiest legs in the game, man. I mean, the way that he's able to make guys miss, there's not many quarterbacks in the game that can do that, man. Maybe Lamar Jackson currently, but other than him, it's him and Jalen as far as how good they are at making cuts and running the ball.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I wanted to give a shout out to Philly Sports Trips again. If you guys are looking to see the United States, there's lots of other games out there to attend. Check out Philly Sports Trips. We all just got back from Arizona. I saw some people that we met out there. Shout out to Chris. Shout out to Pete. Shout out to Mark. Shout out to Nina, who was in the chat earlier. If you want to get on these trips, this is a perfect opportunity to meet other Eagle fans across the globe. So check out Philly Sports Trips. They put on phenomenal trip.
They don't cut corners, man.
I was going through my footage. It took a while, but I was by the end, I was smiling. I was like, yo, you know, I had a great time.
Yeah, dude. And like you said, that like every venue that we attended, like there was no cutting corners. It's not like we ended up. Nah, it's not like we ended up at just some skanky dive bar or something like that. Every bar that we had an event with was awesome. Was a great bar, had its own little theme to it. There were so many. That was another takeaway I had, man. Eagles fans are truly incredible because in Arizona, I counted like 4 or 5 Eagles dedicated bars, man. Like all they do is Philadelphia sports in this bar, and they were in Arizona. There was multiple ones of them, and I got to imagine that across the rest of the West Coast, that's another thing that continues to exist. So it's crazy, man. Vince is able to find those spots and throw a good party.
We only got Debo'd once one night, and that was by a 7-foot-tall blonde who got in front of us and stole 7 cheesesteaks.
oh my God, that was outrageous. That was outrageous. We got Debo'd twice. They were handing out free cheesesteaks at this event. Me and Prime have been waiting in line for probably like 15, 20 minutes. And the kitchen was catching up. And then they come out of the kitchen with like a whole pile of cheesesteaks. And she just loads her arms up.
Clear the table.
Me and Prime are sitting there like, how did that just happen? She just walked away with 4 cheesesteaks for one person.
Well, I mean, I was hoping that Evan was going to come to my defense since he's the one that beat me on the punching bag. So
I would have, man, I would have been like, hey, I need a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then we saw her walk by with another 3 later on as we were eating our wine.
Yeah, she was putting in work.
She went ham, bro.
I was trying to think, how many of those did she eat herself?
I don't know, but it was just still the fact that she came in front of us, grabbed the first 4.
I think that was the most shocking part is that we were directly behind her in line, and like me and Prime were like next in line, ready to eat. We were sitting there, we were hungry, man. And all of a sudden, they come out of the kitchen with a bunch of fresh new cheesesteaks, and she cleared the entire table of her and her friend. And we're sitting there like, yo, that was a disrespectful.
Ladies,
wow! The hell was that? I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was. But what was I gonna say, man? I mean, the way that Ev was talking about the cheesesteaks, your feelings were hurt.
I was pretty upset. It was just disrespectful. I was sitting there on the verge of hangriness, and then she comes up and swoops all my food up in front of me. I mean,
wow! You should have struck first.
I'm not a line cutter.
We didn't have an opportunity to.
Strike first, Sensei.
You should have seen that offensive line that she had formed around the cheese sticks, man.
They formed like Voltron.
but before we get out of here, I just want to remind everyone who, because we'll all get this question a million times in my DMs. We are having a tailgate. We always have a tailgate at every home game. We're in Lot G2, free beer, courtesy of Bud Light.
Is it free to attend?
Free to attend. It says free. And then free.
Do I need an invitation to attend?
No invitation. Just bring the good vibes, man. And then also, shout out to Conchie Baker for always supporting us with the tomato pies. What image should be on the tomato pie? I feel like one. I'll go first. Dallas sucks.
Easy. Easy. Yeah.
Fuck Dallas.
That
too soon?
I feel like that's you know, redundant with the Dallas sucks.
Somebody muted. Oh, there you
go. No, I'm saying I got an idea for them. I'm gonna throw it their way and I'm gonna see if they come out with it. If they do, we'll take a picture, we'll post it. But other than that, I'm not gonna say nothing. Keep it.
Is that a prime helmet?
No.
Quick happy birthday to my boy Dog.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Dog.
The goat. It's the goat's birthday.
I totally forgot about it.
Did you wish him a happy birthday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you send
Brian Dawkins happy birthday?
Yeah, I texted him.
Look at that.
Should you call him on his birthday?
He didn't call me on my
look, you know, as a friend, like some people like texts, some people like calls. Like, I don't know. Do you guys like prefer calls on your birthday or? Or a text.
Yeah, no, by the way, just remember.
Just remember.
To answer your question, Gail, it depends on who you are. There's some people I would rather talk to, and there's some people I would just rather receive a text from. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Not really. If that helps you.
Is that disrespectful? I don't want to be on the phone all day. It wasn't like a disrespect thing.
Thanks for remembering calling me.
It's not a disrespect thing. I just text you because everybody else is going to be probably calling. You probably got some shit to do with your family.
Nice.
And it's probably like some, like I wouldn't want to be on the phone all day.
Okay.
It's your birthday. Why would you want to be on the phone all day? Shoot him a happy birthday. Say what's up. Let him know. Say them God, happy birthday. God bless.
You could have sent him a cameo.
Yeah, that's too much. I'm sorry.
My boy sent me a cameo from David Akers. And I was like, why did you pick David Akers?
Cheapest one on cameo.
And then he goes, David Akers is like, hey, Gail, I heard it's your birthday. And your friend Brian says it's your favorite player is Jose Leo Hansen. I'm like, Hey, bro, come on. You couldn't do better than that. I appreciate it, though. But before we get out of here, last word, we'll go with
we're not giving out a score this week because y'all make me all over time.
Let's do it again. We'll start with their score prediction. And then your last word. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds cool. Who's going to go first?
Since I
brought it up. My score
strike first, Sensei.
So I'm about to strike first. 35-14, Birds. My last word is Cowboy sucks. We got to kick that ass. Thug Life Westside. Big Chuck, holla at your boy. G4 status. Philadelphia Freeway. Fill it up.
Unleaded.
That was like a 90s rap song outro.
It was actually an early 2000s. Respect my gangster, Evan. Respect it.
I respect it.
Thanks, Scarface.
It's 35-14. That was my last word.
I like
Philadelphia Freeway.
I'm gonna go 42-10. We gonna pull all the tricks out this weekend. Like I said, we got some new toys to play with, so I'm looking forward to seeing those boys go to work. You know, catch your boys in the building because we're gonna be repping hard. I always look forward to this time of the season. You know, shout out to my brother. You know, he knows what it is, man. It's Dallas sucks week, so.
you know, I'm looking forward to it and getting ready to go ahead and hurry up and get to Sunday, man, because I'm the excitement is just kicking in.
Is he coming to the game though?
We're still Fugazi talking about that.
For Fugazi, if he's not,
I'm trying to get him to come to the tailgate. How you not come
to a Dallas Cowboys game? And it's the closest they're going to be to you. Because you know what? Dallas lives on the other side of the country. I know. You're not going to come to the game?
Preach, man. Go ahead, preach. Because I know he's tuning in. Let him know.
Good. I hope he is listening. Yeah, Evan.
I'm going to go 38-17. But that last touchdown scored by the Dallas Cowboys is going to be a nice garbage time piece. So it's going to be 38-10 pretty much. The game's going to be handled. Then they throw in that garbage time touchdown, 38-17.
I'm gonna stick with the 30 burgers, but I'm gonna go 31-20. Birds.
I like it.
What's your last word? I guess nobody had a last word.
Oh, my last word is Ev, did you have a last word?
Go right ahead, Gail.
Because I gotta last word it out. Go ahead.
Oh, you want the last word. All right, so I'm just going to jump in here and say, man, I'm going to reiterate myself from the beginning of the show here. I fucking hate Dallas Cowboys fans. Anyone that is not from Texas, it's completely fraudulent. You're a fake fan. You jump onto bandwagons. That's all you are. You ain't shit. It's
Damn, Dallas let my brother Cowboys know how he feel.
Oh, I'm letting him know. Go Birds, bro.
To follow Ev's words, that's very hard to follow, but
You
saw what happened out in Arizona. You saw what happened out in Washington. Fans show up. Do not sell any of your tickets to anybody if they're a Dallas Cowboy fan. You make sure you show up, cheer loud and proud, have a great time in the lots, enjoy your birds. We're 5-0, about to be 6-0, and I'm saying that confidently. So we'll see you guys in the next one, and as always, fly, Eagles, fly, and Dallas, y'all suck.
Go Birds.